How's everybody doing today? Good? Praise God. It's good to hear. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to read from verses 21 through 27. And the theme of today's message is having peace. How many people have peace in their lives? Amen? Well, I hope everybody has peace in their life. Amen? Peace is a person. It's not a feeling. Peace is Jesus. Amen? So we want to talk a little bit today about what it means to follow Jesus, and by following Jesus, how you can have peace in your life. Jesus said that if you follow me, if you obey my commandments, if you follow in the path that I set for you, you will have peace in your life. The question is, do you believe that or not? How many people believe what's written in the Word of God? Amen? See, a lot of people, we can even just say in our heads that we consent to this, right? But if you really believe it, you're going to live it out. A lot of us, we don't have peace because we're not living the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when you put the teachings of Jesus Christ before everything else in your life, I can guarantee that you're going to have peace in your life. Amen? Amen. Remember this. You will never be happy. You will never be fulfilled in your life unless you have peace. If you don't have peace, you cannot properly enjoy life. And peace only comes through the person of Jesus Christ. He's called the Prince of Peace, right? So let's see what he taught about peace. At the very end of his life, he's ready to go to the cross right now in this portion. And he's taken his disciples aside and he's going to give them one last lesson. And this is what he teaches them. In verse 21, he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him." How many people know that God has made his home in your heart, in your life? You see, brother, if you don't know that, you don't have peace. You need to know that Jesus Christ is living in you, is working in you, and is walking with you. Listen to what he said. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24, he says, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as a world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this teaching that you're bringing us today on peace. Lord, we thank you for this theme of peace throughout the scriptures, Lord, and this theme of this Bible that you have given us, which teaches us how to have peace with you. Lord, we're aware today that unless if we have peace with you, we cannot be at peace with ourselves. And so, Lord, I pray that you would come into this room, into this place. Come into our hearts right now and teach us what it means to walk in your paths. Lord, we're not interested in just coming to a religious place. We're not interested in just offering up vain sacrifices to a God that we don't even know whether he loves us or not. Lord, we know that you are here because we believe in your word. We trust that when you said you would love us if we obey your commandments, Lord, we know that you love us. And that if we love you, you live inside of us, Jesus. And today, Lord, we ask that you would manifest yourself to us today. Lord, I pray that you would open up ears, that you would open up our eyes, that you would open up our minds and our hearts to be able to receive you today.
Lord, we want to receive you in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. Lord, that our lives would be holy, 100% dedicated to you, we pray. Lord, motivate us, we pray. Give us your anointing that as we leave this place, we can spread this word. We can spread your life and your love all around us to the people in our homes, in our families, at our workplaces, that many people would see the light of Christ, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm coming to this point in my life where I'm about willing to do anything, whatever it takes, to get peace. I'm willing to change whatever needs to be changed in my life to get peace. Because the most valuable commodity that you will ever possess in your life is going to be to have peace. I don't care how poor you are or how rich you are. I don't care, you know, how successful you are in life, what kind of relationships you are, whether you think that you're in a good marriage or a bad marriage. It doesn't matter. What matters is whether you have peace. And I'm getting to the point that I'm willing to do anything to get peace. I'm so hungry for peace that oftentimes I can truly say that even in the times of the biggest storms in my life, I can truly say that I've had a peace that passes understanding. I told you guys last year about how I was in an accident with a woman, that pedestrian that I backed up into, and it was a scary time, you know, that she was suing me, and I had got a subpoena in the mail. I'm telling you, there are lots of times when the enemy wanted to sift me, and he wanted to take my peace, and I had to make a choice to get before the throne of God, to cry out to God, and to stay there until he gave me peace. And sometimes I would get up and I would just start worshiping God, even though I felt turmoil inside. I would just worship God and worship God until I felt his peace come in. And brothers, I'm going to tell you, we need to get to the point in our lives in where we're willing to do anything, whatever it takes, to get God's peace in our lives. The Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 through 8, he said that we're not to be anxious about anything. It says be anxious for nothing. Nothing means nothing. I don't care what kind of problems you're going through. The word of the Lord says, which is more powerful than you're thinking, the word of the Lord says we're to be anxious for nothing. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, oftentimes we ask God for so many things. We ask God for peace, but he says to do it with thanksgiving. That means sometimes you have to get in God's face and say, I praise you. I love you. Thank you for giving me your peace. Thank you for giving me the solution to my problems, even though I don't see them. Because he said that we're to make our supplication to the Lord. I mean, if you're making a supplication to the Lord, it means that you need something, right? But it said even in your need, when you're making that supplication, you're already thanking God. Because your trust is so firm in him. You see, we're to be thanking God when we ask him for stuff. When we ask him for our needs, it says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then look what it says. It says, if you do this, you can take this to the bank. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. How many people want that peace? Brothers, let me tell you, it doesn't matter how bad your marriage relationship is. It doesn't matter how bad your work situation is or your financial situation is. What you need is Jesus. See, you think Jesus didn't have problems? Brother, he was the Prince of Peace and he had problems, but he knew how to ride out the storm. You see, because his trust was in his Father. Having peace is more important than anything you could ever want in life. It's more important than anything you could ever work for. And I'm going to tell you, for all the work and all the money you pour into certain items that you think you need or maybe that you just want, you're never going to enjoy any of them without having peace in your heart. That's why the word tells us that we are to seek peace and pursue it. Do you know that the word tells you to pursue peace? It says in 1 Peter 3:11, it says we're supposed to pursue peace. I like what it says in the Amplified Version. It says that we are eagerly to pursue peace. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he who would love life and see good days, number one, if you want that, it says refrain your tongue from evil. Stop speaking evil. Number two, it says, let his lips refrain from speaking deceit. And number two, it says, let him turn away from evil and do good. So stop speaking evil. Stop doing evil. Do good. And then it says, and let him seek peace and pursue it. Are you a peace seeker? Are you eager to pursue peace? Are you willing to do anything to get peace? You see, there have been many things in my life in which I've had to change in order to enjoy peace. If you want a life of peace, you're also going to have to change things in your life if you're not enjoying peace right now. You see, peace has to be a priority in your life. Because if it's not a priority, you're not going to be willing to make the effort that you need to see it happen. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can change all the situations of your life. You may be in a circumstance you can do nothing about. And I'm not telling you that God is just going to take you out of that circumstance. But God promised you that in spite of those circumstances, you can still have peace. You may not be able to change somebody else. You may not be able to change your circumstance, but you can change you. You see, we're only responsible before the Lord for ourselves. We're only responsible. I'm not responsible for my wife's decisions, my husband's decisions. I can counsel them. I can tell them, even as a pastor of a church, I can, as an authoritative person, I can tell you what you need to do, but I can't guarantee that that person is going to obey. I can't guarantee that that person is going to take the advice, right? You see, I'm not responsible for other people's decisions. You can only be responsible for your own decisions. You can't change somebody else. You can only change you. But Jesus said that if you follow him, he will give his peace to you. That word give means he will bequeath. He will give it. He will place it upon your life so that blessing is poured out all over your life. It's all a question of how much are you following Jesus. Don't get me wrong. Listen, there are things you can't change, but Jesus can make all things right in your life. You see, I need to constantly ask God for the boldness to change the things inside of me that I can change. I need to constantly ask God for the boldness to accept the things that I can't change. And I need to constantly ask him for wisdom to know the difference between one and the other. Because sometimes we think, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about that, when actually, yes, there is. Or sometimes we want to change the whole world where God hasn't asked us to change those things or to put our fingers in the places that they don't belong. See, in other words, what I do, I'm going to do with God's help. But what I can't do, I'm going to turn over to God. And it all comes down to following peace. Are you a follower of peace? Are you a seeker of peace? Do you know what peace is defined as in the Webster's Dictionary? The Webster's Dictionary defines peace as a state of tranquility or quiet. I like to think of it as a state of tranquility or quiet with God, right? Because, you know, it starts with God. The second definition says it's freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts. Freedom from having those disquieting or oppressive thoughts that constantly nag at you. A third definition said peace is harmony in personal relations, right? Think about what's the opposite of peace. What's the antonym of peace? See, the antonym of peace is conflict. If peace is having harmony in personal relationships, then the opposite of harmony in personal relationships is having conflict with a person's relationship. You know what the definition of conflict is? Conflict is a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. You see, when you're speaking to somebody at work or at home, and you want to do something, but they want to do something else. They want to do it a different way. And you don't like it because you can't accomplish your goals. You can't get what you want. You become frustrated inside, and that's the opposite of peace. That's where conflict steps in. Jesus said, you can always have peace, regardless of the situation that you're in. A life without peace is a life of frustration and struggle. I'm going to tell you that. You see, and a life of frustration and struggle is usually the result of trying to do something about something that you can't do anything about. It often happens when you want to change that person. You want that person to do something different because you want them to come onto your side of seeing things. See, and lots of times we're trying to change people, and there's no way you can change people. Only God can change people. You know, for all the witnessing that I do, I can't guarantee that somebody's going to come to the Lord. Only God can change a person's heart. But you will be frustrated, and you will struggle in life if you're constantly trying to do things about something that you can't do anything about. That's why Philippians 4:6 says that we're not to be anxious about anything. In other words, it tells us that we're to hand everything over to God. Regardless of what your situation you're in, regardless of what you're feeling, you're to take that situation, that circumstance, and you're to give it to God. You see, so many Christians, they spend years asking God to give them peace, asking God to give them peace in their work, in their finances, in their relationships. Years. When they don't understand that God has already provided peace for them. God has already provided peace for us, but the problem is most of us, we don't appropriate it. How many people know that you have to appropriate peace in order to experience peace, right? You see, if somebody comes and they give you a house, let's say you're living in a very shanty, poor neighborhood out there in Africa somewhere, right? And somebody comes and they give you $1 million house and money in the bank. And you get the title. I mean, they bring you the deed. Amen. You're going to say, amen, that house is mine, right? And you get that deed and you take it to the framers and you frame that thing up and you put it up on the wall and you say, look, that's my house. This is proof that that house belongs to me. But brother, unless if you move out of your situation and you move into that house, it doesn't matter what the deed says. You understand? Because until you appropriate it, it's not going to make a difference in your life. There are people who have an inheritance of peace, but they're still living in their old condition. Jesus said, the gospel says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. But brother, if you're going to insist on living in your old life, in your old mentality, in your old habits and ways of doing things, it doesn't matter how new the creature is. I mean, it can all belong to you. But unless if you move into the house, you're not going to be able to experience the peace. See, John 14:27, at the very end, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So he says, therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I like what the Amplified says, because it amplifies the translations of Christ's words there. And it says if Jesus is saying, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly and disturbed. You hear what he said? He said, don't permit yourself to become that way. In other words, peace is a choice you make. It's not simply a feeling that you feel. What you have to understand is that when you're upset, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change your situation. It doesn't change the person that you're dealing with. It doesn't change anything about that's around you. When you're upset, all it does is it makes those around you miserable. And guess what? That's not going to win you any points. That's not going to make them get up the next day and smile at you and all be happy. You see, brother, if you want to receive goodness from other people in your relationships, you need to invest goodness into that relationship. Amen? You see, when we decide not to trust God, not to believe in God, and just to stay miserable, then you're going to make other people around us miserable too. Conflict breeds more conflict. Yesterday, my two children were sitting on the computer, and my wife makes them take turns, 5 minutes apiece. Well, my oldest son, he came in and he just yanked Matthew out of the chair and see, he needed the computer because he needed to do something. And he started crying. I'm in here preparing the sermon. I'm like, oh, this is a good example, right? You know, I'm not going to go out there and help it, you know, but I'm going to put it in my sermon, you know. And he starts crying. And Matthew's just crying his little heart out. And so finally I got up and I go over and I took Benjamin out and I put Matthew in. And then Benjamin was crying and they're both yelling their heads off. And finally my wife gets upset. She's like, she was fed up. She closed the computer and sent them both out of the room. Get out of mommy's room. And then they were both crying. For like an hour afterwards, they were both crying. You know, I mean, I think lots of times our attitude with the Lord is that way. Don't you think that the Lord ever gets fed up with us? Listen, the Lord gets fed up with people. I mean, when the children of Israel were in the desert, the Lord got fed up with them because they were constantly complaining. They were constantly choosing not to have peace. And it was a choice they were making. And God said, I am fed up with them. He said, Moses, stand to the side because I'm going to wipe this people out and I'm going to start over with you. Of course, he didn't do that because Moses pled to God for the people and God had mercy on them because God is merciful. Thank God that he's merciful because, I mean, as fed up as he should be with us, we should be out of here, right? But thank God for his mercy and for his grace that he puts up with us even when we choose to be miserable, right? But you see, God is trying to teach us something. He's trying to teach us how to choose to have peace, how to choose peace in our time of trouble, in our difficult situation. You see, Jesus, he gives this teaching right before he goes to the cross. Now, he could have given a number of teachings, okay, because he spent most of his life teaching about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. He spent a lot of time talking to people about money and finances. A lot of parables had to do with that. But no, all the things that he could have taught about, he decided to put on hold, and he said, the last thing before I go to the cross, I'm going to teach my disciples the importance of peace. Now, brothers, if Jesus took his last teaching, his last time before he went to the cross to give his peace, to tell his disciples about the importance of peace, then we need to know how important that is for our lives, especially if we're followers of Jesus Christ. You see, it's a tragedy for us to live our entire life without peace when Jesus has made it so readily available. You see, some people don't have peace because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Some people haven't made that choice. You see, if you don't have the Prince of Peace inside of your heart, you can't have peace. You understand? You need Jesus in order to have peace. Because peace starts with having peace with God. And until you know God, you can't have peace. The difference between following Jesus and following all the other religious leaders that are out there, all the other religions that are out there and their leaders, the difference is that Jesus gives us unity with God. He gives us peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, we've been justified by faith, therefore we have peace with God. The other religions don't have peace with God. They hope that maybe God might be happy with them. You see, but Jesus gives us peace. He gives you an experience. When I went forward and accepted Jesus Christ when I was 7 years old, brother, I had an experience with God. I had an experience, brother, and you need an experience with God. It's not about how many times you come up to the altar. It's about how you want, how desirous are you of having Jesus in your life. You see, you need to make that choice. Jesus, I'm going to change anything. I'm going to do anything. Whatever it takes, I'm going to grab a hold of you, and I'm never going to let you go. And brother, that means if I have to eat you whole, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be inside of you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to make a choice to make my home a holy place and a place that pleases you. You want peace? Isaiah 32:18. I don't even have it in my notes, but Isaiah 32:18, he said he would make his people to dwell in peaceful dwelling places, secure homes, undisturbed places of rest. Who's the king of your house? Is Jesus the king in your house? Or do you have strife as the king of your house? See, some people, even Christians, they lack peace because they haven't responded to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you and bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. See, we're Christians. We have the Holy Spirit living inside. And sometimes he's prompting you and he's saying, you need to get this right in your life. You need to do this thing that's correct. You need to go to that person and make it right and trust in me. Maybe he can't even guarantee you that they're going to be happy with you and all that. You know, sometimes we go say sorry to people and they go, I don't forgive you. You understand? But it doesn't matter. You need to do what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Lots of Christians, they have sin in their lives, and they're not dealing with the sin, and so they can't have peace. Some of us, we just have built up this mentality of worrying about everything. And when you do that, you can't have peace because you're not trusting in God. Amen? Listen, God said he was going to supply all your needs. Everything that you need is already given to you. It's on a silver platter in your face. You don't need to worry about what is not in the refrigerator or what is not in the bank. God has a bigger bank than your bank. Yeah. He can make it work out. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, some people don't have peace because they're just angry at God. Some people are so angry at God, maybe they've been praying for a long time and their prayers aren't being answered. Or maybe somebody else has something that they want and they're envious and they're asking God for it and they're not getting it. Or maybe there's been a death in the family and they don't understand why this person had to be taken away from them. It's very easy to get angry with God. Some people are sick, like Job was sick, and he couldn't get any healing. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he couldn't get any healing. And you don't know, we don't know what's all going on in the heavenlies and what, we don't know everything. You see, there are multiple reasons why people don't trust in God. But if you're going to enjoy God, which is the basic reason why you're on earth, is to praise him, to glorify him, and to enjoy him forever. If you're going to enjoy God, you're going to have to get to the place in your life that you're going to trust him. You see, because you don't know everything. God knows everything. In fact, Acts 17:26, I'll paraphrase, it says that he destined every single person to be born at a certain time and a certain place. Nobody was born into the place and time that they were born in just by accident. Everybody was born in a certain time and a certain place, the exact places God had destined for them from before the foundation of the earth. They were born in that place. In fact, Psalms 139, verse 16, David says, before any of my days were lived, before I was even conceived in my mother's womb, you had ordained all the days for me. Every single one of them were written in your book before any of them came to be. You see, God is in control of your life. And you think, well, I was born by accident because, you know, my mom and dad just decided to have me someday or not. Brother, it doesn't work that way. You see, before you were ever born, God had already conceived of you. Before the world ever began, God had already conceived of you. He had already destined, he had already purposed your life. There is a purpose for your life. And you're sitting here saying, well, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, brother, you're going to have to start to believe in God. You're going to have to start to trust in Him. Okay, because listen, if my computer can keep track of billions and billions and billions of pieces of information all at once, I think God can do it a little bit better than my computer can, right? So I can tell you, God not only has a purpose for you, He knows that you were born here, and He knows exactly your condition with your parents and the choices that you've made, and He can make it all work out for His glory. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, the greatest faith in the world is not faith that just can do miracles. You know, we talk so much about faith that can move mountains. You know, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move the mountain. That's not very big. That's not the greatest faith. I'm sorry, but I think Job had a little bit more faith than that, because Job went to God and he asked for healing and he didn't get it. And he still decided to trust in God. You see, I think the greatest faith, I mean, it's great faith to maybe pray for somebody and they're healed, but what about the person who's asking for a miracle and seeking for a miracle and they never find the miracle and they still choose to trust in God, to go to church, to give their tithe, even though they may be hurting in their body or something, to give their tithe, to do what's right. You see, that's remarkable faith, okay? Listen, Jesus went through it. Jesus prayed to God. He said, if you can remove this cup from me. Paul prayed. He said, if you can take this thorn out of my side. And Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. And Jesus prayed to the Father, withdraw. I mean, listen, Jesus, the Son of God, was pleading to the Father so greatly. He had drops of sweat that had become as blood. They were falling off of his face. And all his friends had deserted him. Okay, they couldn't even stay up praying with him. They didn't feel what he was feeling. He felt it all by himself. And he said, Father, if you can take this cup away from me, do so. Brother, there are times in your life when you ask God for everything in the world to take that situation away from you, and it just doesn't go away. And the Prince of Peace was nailed to a cross, but he still chose to trust the Father. I can imagine on the time he was on the cross and he was crying out, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me all alone? But he knew, because it says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because he knew that there was a better day around the corner. He knew that God was in control. You see, and his disciples didn't get it. He was raised from the dead 3 days later. And the women, they went to the tomb and they saw him alive. And they went running back to the disciples. And the disciples, we're not going to believe you. You women are crazy. What possessed you? Jesus didn't raise from the dead. And so Jesus had to come and he had to literally appear to all the disciples in order for them to believe that he was actually raised from the dead. And one disciple wasn't there. And his name was Thomas. So all the 11 went, they said, it's true. What the women said is right. He's raised from the dead. And Thomas said, unless if I put my hands in his side and my fingers into the holes of his hands, he said, I'm not going to believe that he really was raised from the dead. And Jesus shows up to him in John chapter 20 and he says, look, Thomas, put your fingers here. Put your hand in my side. He let him do it. But then he said this. He said, you believe because you've seen. He said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. You see, brother, it's easy to believe in God when you get the miracle. It's easy to believe in God when everything is going right. But God wants to test our faith. He wants to test our trust in Him. He wants to improve and maximize our faith. So He allows us to go through troubles and trials. And He wants us to choose peace in the midst of our trials. You see, following peace means to follow the Prince of Peace. And that's Jesus Christ. And you know what the Prince of Peace said? In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, he said, whoever desires to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus was talking about marching to a person's death. Paul said, I die every day. Listen, I don't know about you, but it doesn't sound like what's commonly preached as prosperity in a lot of churches, you know? It's deny yourself. It's pick up your cross. It's go to your death. You know, prosperity comes in our lives. The feelings of peace come in our life once we obey. You see, peace doesn't come just from having a lot of money. It doesn't come from just feeling good about everything in life, okay? Peace in Jesus is talking about peace you have even when the problems occur, when you normally wouldn't feel good. See, he says, because in Philippians it says, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that means which doesn't make sense, that will guard your heart and your mind. The peace that the world is going to say, how can that person be going through all those things? How can they be in the hospital and still smiling? I don't get it. Because the world can't understand that. It doesn't make sense to the world. They don't know what it's like having Jesus on the inside. You see, peace isn't just a feeling, it's a person. And you're going to get peace when you make the decision to pick up your cross and follow that person. And then once you follow him, and once you obtain him, brother, then the feelings will follow. Amen? You see, when I was a kid, I had to make a choice to deny my friends and to go forward to an altar to accept Jesus Christ. I mean, there are a lot of adults here. I was 7 years old. I was like this only little kid up there crying my eyes out. And my friends who were all in the front row were pulling back on me, telling me, you know, that's just for adults. What are you doing? Are you crazy? But brother, once I made that choice, once I took the uncomfortable step, okay? Once I was up there, once I said, Jesus, everything I have is yours. Brother, I know he came inside of me. I felt his presence come in me. And you talk about peace. This was a supernatural peace. The world could have fallen apart. I mean, World War III could have gone off. I don't care what kind of 9/11s were coming. Nobody was going to take that peace out of my heart. And all I wanted was more and more and more of Jesus. Brother, that's what it is. Jesus is a real, literal person. This is not just some philosophy that we're preaching here. It's an experience you need to go through. If you truly want peace, you're going to have to make a decision in your life to stop following the other people, the other voices, the other advice. You have to decide to become a God pleaser sometime and not a man pleaser. Amen? See, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we've been justified by faith. Faith is believing in God no matter what. And in the big faith chapter in the Bible, which is Hebrews 11, talks all about these great faith warriors. And how they believed in God and what was accomplished because they believed in God and how God fought for them. Well, when you get down to verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. God had promised stuff to them. They lived out their whole lives. And it says, they died in faith, not having received the promises. But having seen them afar off, they were assured of those promises. They embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And it goes on to say that people who live that kind of life prove that they're not citizens of this world. They're citizens of another city, of another place, another land that they're looking for, another country. You see, God made promises to some of these guys. And they lived out their whole life and they never saw those promises. But they knew that God was still going to accomplish the promises. Remember Abraham? God said to him, I'm going to multiply your seed through Isaac. He says, through Isaac, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth, and you're going to become a great nation. And then he said, I want you to take Isaac and kill him and sacrifice him on the altar. And it says in Hebrews that he believed God that he would still raise Isaac from the dead because he had to be faithful to his promise. So he knew that if he would kill Isaac, Isaac was going to have to be raised from the dead because God was going to have to fulfill his promise through Isaac, even if he was dead. See, and brothers, sometimes we sit here and we wonder, how is it that God promises me things and it just never happens? God knows it and you don't. God knows all the times and the places and the best things and how it's going to work out. Had Abraham decided not to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, who knows what would have happened, but it would have never have been as good for Abraham. He trusted God. He put Isaac on the altar, and he was going to slay him, and God stopped him at the last second. He said, I was just testing your heart. Now I know that you love me even more than you love your son. And he said, because you have done this, I will bless you more than all the other nations around you. And he was blessed more than anything because he trusted God to the very death. That's what Jesus did. Right? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? You see, it all starts with having peace with God. If you're at peace, if you're not at peace with God, you can't be at peace with yourself. And listen, if you're not at peace with yourself, you cannot be at peace with other people. A lot of you have bad relationships with other people, but it's because you're eaten up inside. And God wants to change that about you. Peace starts with God first. Then it comes into my heart, and then it flows into the people who are around me. That's where peace starts. That's why Peter 3:10-11 says that we're to pursue peace. It says, if anyone is to enjoy life, look what it says. For he who would love life and see good days, let him seek peace and pursue it. How many people want to love life and see good days? You see, listen, God wants you to love life and see good days. God wants you to have good days. But it doesn't say if we're to have good days, we're merely to enjoy peaceful relationships with God and ourselves and other people. It says we're to pursue peaceful relationships with God, ourselves, and other people. You see, many of you, you can't hear God because you have so much turmoil in your life. And a lot of people are that way. Their insides are like a freeway during rush hour traffic. I mean, it's like it's crazy inside of there. It's as if they're addicted to turmoil. I mean, they keep on things agitated and stirred up seemingly on purpose, right? Why? Because they're so broken up inside. They get comfortable with living in a state of chaos. You see, I've known people that are bored when everything is going peaceful. When everything is going just right, they have to try to find something to fix because their whole lives are constantly about trying to fix things. You see, if you've grown up in a home, if you've grown up in an atmosphere of strife where all around you people were constantly fighting, then guess what? If that's all you've ever known, you're going to have to learn an entirely new way of living your life. It's a whole nother life. It's a whole nother atmosphere out there that Jesus wants for us. You see, you need a force that's so much stronger than yourself to make your life right. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And none of this can happen without Jesus Christ. Okay? In Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, he's predicting about the Messiah. And he says this. He says, unto us a son is born. He says, unto us a son is given. A child is born. A son is given. It says the government will be upon his shoulders. It says his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Brother, if he's called the Mighty God, it's because he is the Mighty God. I don't care what Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims and everybody else says. The Bible says that he is a Mighty God. He's a Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Him and the Father are one. They're the same God, the Everlasting Father. And then it says he is the Prince of Peace. And it says of his government and peace, there will be no end. It will continuously increase. Hallelujah. You see, this isn't simply talking about the very literal government that Jesus is going to set up on earth, okay? Because when Jesus comes again, there's going to be literally a government that spans the globe. And it's starting right now. It's just starting in the lives of his church and the people that come to him. It's already on the move, okay? But what he is also talking about is he's talking about a very personal government that governs our lives. That governs our lives individually. You see, you're not to run your own life. You're not capable of running your life, okay? You're not even qualified to run your life. There is no degree you can take that now I can make decisions for myself. Nuh-uh. See, because nobody is intelligent enough to know what's best for them. Therefore, we need to be thankful to God when he interrupts our lives. See, a lot of people get angry at God when he interrupts their lives. But God said, I come in to interrupt your life because it's for your good. It's for your good. He works everything out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes, right? He works everything out for the good. It may seem bad. Discipline is never easy to take, right, when you get it. But in the end, man, brother, you reap so much benefit from that. I like the fact that God promised that there'd be no end to the increase of his government and peace. You see, because the more his government increases in my thoughts, the more his government increases in my conversations that I have with other people, the more his government increases in the decisions and the actions that I take, the more peace that I'm going to have in my life, the happier I'm going to be. And sometimes we need to take a vacation from our own ideas and our own wants and the things that we think is so right for us, right? Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, No. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. He said, but first seek God and his righteousness. And then all the other things that you think you need, right? All that stuff is also going to be given to you. But first, seek me, Jesus says. You see, following the Lord of peace may mean that you have to make some serious adjustments in your life. You may not be able to have all the commodities you want. You may not be able to do everything that your friends do. You may have to wait to get some things. Oh, gosh. In this society, it's like we just, oh, Lord, help us. We go out there and we just want everything right now. You know, God needs to work patience in the lives of his people. Peace is the most valuable thing that you're ever going to own. And if you follow peace, then you're going to end up living a holy life and thoroughly enjoying that holy life that you live. You're going to love it. See, the secret is this. The more that you live in peace, the more that you're going to want peace. You get a little taste of that stuff, brother, and you're going to want to keep on coming back for more. I mean, eventually, you're going to become addicted to peace. That's a good addiction to have. You need to be addicted to peace because peace is Jesus and Jesus is peace. Now, I'm not talking about running away from conflict, okay? If you're running away from confronting somebody that God has told you to confront, then that's running away from peace. That's keeping the conflict going. God wants us to deal with those things. Instead of running from conflict, you're going to learn to resolve conflict the way God wants you to resolve it. And you'll be at peace regardless of the outcome. You see, when you're addicted to peace, you're going to do anything you can do to have it. The moment peace disappears, it's not going to be okay. And you're going to start asking God and yourself, how is it that you lost the peace? And you start to take steps. You'll start to look for ways to get peace back into your life. In fact, you'll become what the Bible calls a peacemaker. Okay, you're going to make peace happen. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers because they will be called the sons of God. The question is this, are you a peacemaker? If you become addicted to peace, you will be willing to make any adjustments you have to make to get it. And it's going to lead you into the perfect will of Christ. Here in this chapter that we were looking at in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus said that if we follow him, he's going to give us peace, and he's going to give it to us free of charge. So my challenge to you today is this. Listen. Simply pursue peace. Pursue peace. Make a decision in your life. I'm going to go after peace no matter what. You ask, look, why do I challenge you, right? Why does a pastor get up and at the end of every service, he has to challenge us? I'm so tired. I don't want to get up and make a decision. Listen, if you want peace, you need to make a decision to take peace. You know, brother, if somebody lays out a banquet table before you full of food and good stuff, you have to make a decision to reach out your hand and take the food and put it into your mouth. Otherwise, it's just going to be a decoration for you, right? You see, so we need to make a decision in our lives to pursue peace. My challenge to you is this: pursue Jesus and pursue peace. Be a peacemaker. For some of you, it may mean that you need to resolve a conflict with somebody, okay? Because, listen, as long as that conflict is there, it's just going to fester away at you. It's just going to make you feel worse. So some of you, it means you need to get up and you need to go to somebody and you need to make amends. For others, it may mean that you just need to get right with God. Some of us, we know we're not in God's will. We know we're doing things that are not right. And we need to dedicate our lives to following Jesus Christ. So that's my challenge to you today, amen? That's my message to you. I'd like it if everybody would just stand up. And let's thank God for his word, amen? Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And let's ask God to come into our lives and the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and do introspection. Listen, if you invest into God, he's going to invest into you. If you invest in obeying and following his Holy Spirit, he's going to invest into you. And I want you to bring to mind, if there's any conflict in your life, anything that's stealing your peace right now, I want you to bring it out to the forefront. Maybe it's a relationship that you had. Maybe it's something that somebody said to you or a misunderstanding that somebody has had about you. Or maybe you have something in your life you know you need to make right with God. I want you to bring it up into your mind and bring it up into the forefront. And now this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If there's a thing in your life, if there's a situation or a circumstance in your life that's taking your peace, I want you to come up here to the front and I want you to deposit it at the altar here at Jesus' feet. I want to ask you to come out of your seat right now and just come up here to the front. And I'm going to pray for you, the elders of the church. We're going to pray for you.